Let's turn in our Bibles today to the book of 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1, we'll begin reading with verse 3. Amen. I'll talk to you this morning about the blessings of being born again. You say, well, that's old. No, it's not old. It's new every morning, new every day. To be a child of God, to be birthed of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Let's see some of the blessings that come from being born again. 1 Peter 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Verse 23 of the same chapter. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God that lives and abides forever. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today, and I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just talk to the heart of every person here, as only you can do. Lord, we just ask your guidance, your grace, your anointing upon the ministry of the word today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The blessing of being born again. If I can share this testimony with you, I will. A man by the name of Todd Sheehan. He says, quote, death was made very real to me as I held my lifeless girlfriend dead of an overdose of heroin and cocaine. This is his testimony. That night we had been talking about changing our lives and we decided that tomorrow was a good place to start. Tomorrow we would make a change. Tomorrow we would seek help. Tragic reality is that we put things off until tomorrow never came. Todd tried secular rehab, but 2 months later he was back where he started, in the same bedroom where his girlfriend had died from an overdose. For the first time in his life, he cried out to God. Next day, his mother told him about a new teen life challenge center that had just opened up in his hometown. And he went, graduated in 2005, and became a minister of the gospel. He said, my faith is no longer in a bag of dope or a bottle of pills, but my faith is in God, born again. That's what happens. Praise the Lord. I've read many testimonies of people who were strongly addicted to drugs, to porn, to alcohol, to sinful lifestyles. However, the testimonies tell of God who loves, saves, delivers from awful life and life-controlling addictions. Once they received Christ, they were changed, they were born again, and had the promises of God's Word, which we're talking about this morning. So there's blessings to be born again. Yes, there's blessings and be delivered and set free from addictions that have people bound that they cannot get free any other way except through Christ. And so Teen Life Challenge, which we support here, they've It's been instrumental in leading many people to Christ. Amen. And in Teen Life Challenge, you go there, you stop everything. You stop drugs, cigarettes, whatever you've got. You don't do anything there. They pray with you. If you have withdrawal addictions, they stay and pray with you until you're free. And so the testimonies are numerous of people that have been set free because they got saved, got born again of God's Spirit. I want us to deal first of all today here in our scripture of being born again to a living hope. Verse 3, begotten again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. We have been birthed, born again into hope. If you're a Christian this morning, you've been born into hope. There's not much hope in this present world. Nothing offers eternal hope. No lasting hope, regardless of who's elected. No hope in who accepts or rejects you. Our hope must be based upon God, who gives genuine, unchanging hope. And He is the source of true hope. Hope's not going to come from whatever you can produce in this world. Hope is not going to come from what anybody else can produce in this world. God gives hope, eternal hope, living hope, righteous hope, hope not later, hope right now. Praise the Lord. And God gives you hope when you're born again. So Jesus is a source of real, genuine hope, eternal hope. His hope isn't based on who loves or who accepts or who agrees with you. His hope is based upon who He is. Divine, righteous, blessed hope. In the book of 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, "For while we do not look at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporary." Amen. Not to ask you to say anything, but everybody sitting around you, including your preacher, is temporary. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not fixing to resign. It's just that we're not here forever. But when we're born again of God's Spirit, we have a living, eternal hope. Amen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And you know, the things of God are eternal. If we were to look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, we find that the fruit of the Spirit is eternal because it comes from God. Or else it wouldn't be fruit of the Spirit. It is fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, comfort, amen, self-control. Hope comes from God. It has to come from God. Love has to come from God, and God's love is eternal. You said, "I want somebody to love me forever." Amen. Don't try God. Make God Lord of your life. He'll love you forever, regardless of who does what or who says what or who where you've been. God's love is eternal. When you were saved, God didn't just start loving you and say, "Well, let's try this a little while." No, God saved you to love you forever. And when you do something He doesn't love, He'll convict you by your Holy Spirit and lead you to an altar of repentance. But God does love you. God's peace is something that cannot be given, cannot be transferred by somebody else in this human race. Peace has to come from God. You can talk to counselors and the psychiatrists and psychologists, and some of them are Christian. They can help you, but if they really want to help you, they'll lead you to the Word of God to give you help. Because God gives genuine peace, amen, and genuine hope and genuine love. And hope isn't based on who loves, who accepts, or who agrees with you or sees things the way you see it. Hope comes from God that gives eternal hope. And so without Christ, there is no hope, no eternal only eternal separation from God. My friend, I cannot think peaceably about entering into eternity after I live this life in the physical body, entering to a place where there will never be one word of encouragement, never be one expression of love, never hope of anything except in a state of death and dying eternally. My friend, you want to go to heaven when you're saved, when you leave this world. And you can, praise the Lord. God has got an eternal hope for you, praise the Lord. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul says to the church in Corinth and to First Assembly this morning, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most to be pitied. my friend, if we can live this whole life here and say, well, you know, this is just really good. I just want to stay here forever. But, you know, you're looking for something that's just not there if hope is only in this life. But my friend, church, if you're a child of the living God, you've been born again of God's Spirit, your hope is not in what we can produce or what somebody else can produce or somebody else can help you with. Our hope is in the eternal God who created heaven and earth, who came down to this earth. He didn't have to, but he did because he loved you and me and cared for us and cared where we spend eternity. Praise the Lord. And so eternal separation from God, from hope, from love, from life, in a state of eternal death and dying. You don't want to go there. You want to be thankful for the blessings of being born again of God's Spirit and having hope. You're born again into a living hope. Praise the Lord. God's Word says several things on this. Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of our God has been poured out into our soul by the Holy Spirit given unto us. God pours love unto you. Amen. Glory to God. I know growing up on a farm, we think, you know, you get hot, you think, well, I'll wipe my face here with my handkerchief and everything. But, you know, if somebody just poured water on your head when it's really hot, that's a little better. I'm not telling you to go home and do that to your companion. But it's hot today, but it gets hotter when you're out in the field working on the farm. In Romans 15:4 says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Scriptures give hope because they testify of a God who cares for us eternally and loves and has eternal plans for us. 1 Peter 1:13, he says, therefore gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Amen. That doesn't mean be slightly intoxicated, just not too much. It says be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the rapture of the church there. The grace of God that's to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I know God is revealed to us when we're born again, when we're saved, but there's coming a final revelation when he comes back to take his church home. So we're not only been born again to a living hope, but we've been born again into an inheritance. Amen. Verse 4 of our text, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. Born again into an inheritance. You know, a pastor of a church a while back, several years back, he had some kids come to him. They told him he was ministering to kids. He said, the kids said, well, what do we get out of this? The pastor said, well, you get eternal life. You get heaven instead of hell. You get, you know, to live a life here. You have a companion, a friend. You have Christ. But my friend, why do we ask the question, what do I get out of this? That sounds like a generation that wants some give me generation, give me this, give me that, you know, all the government and all that. But inheritance in Christ is not something that people fight over. Yes, I've heard of people that fight over who's going to get the last penny of their inheritance. Afraid somebody will get more than me. But by the grace of God, we have an eternal inheritance. Amen. Verse 4, to an inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Incorruptible means that it's not perishable. It's not going to fade away after a certain amount of time, but it's not perishable, incorruptible. And on your groceries, you know, they always have a date that you're supposed to buy your groceries. And certain things have a date on them and says, well, you don't want to use this after that date. Amen. Because if you do, you might look like me. No, it doesn't say that, but it says, you know, on a certain day, it's supposed to be used by a certain day. But, you know, what God has to give, the bread of life, he is incorruptible, imperishable, and what God gives does not age or fade away with time. Life with God doesn't age, doesn't grow cold, doesn't decay. It says it does not fade away because it is eternal. Many things in this life fade with time. Age and decay with time. Homes grow old and break down. I remodeled a home one time, and I'm not sure it was any better after I got through with it. What is a little better? I remodeled a house that was one time a primitive Baptist church. When I started working with it, I found out how primitive it was. But Lord helped me, and we fixed it up and lived in it. It's now the parsonage in El Dorado. But things fade away here. But God's love doesn't fade away. God's love is not going to be gone tomorrow. You say, well, I woke up in a bad mood today. Well, God hadn't changed. You may have, but He hadn't. Amen. And God's inheritance for you that He's giving to you is not going to fade away. We don't have to be afraid if our mansion or the place God has prepared for us is going to fall down and rot and decay. It's not. Amen. The greatest thing about heaven will not be where you're going to live or how great your mansion is or your dwelling place, but it's going to be the presence of God Almighty. Amen. When I see Him, when I look upon His face, I want to fall down at His feet and cry holy. Because by the grace of God, we are what we are. Born again into an inheritance. Amen. Our trust in certain people may fade away, but God's love does not fade away. It is eternal. Amen. In the book of Lamentations, it's not a great name that you want to think about. Lamentations, mourning. And the apostle Jeremiah was mourning for his people that had faded away and gone away from God and lost their inheritance, lost their relationship with God. They didn't have to, but they chose to. But even in the midst of his lamentation, his grief, God gives Jeremiah hope. For he says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the mercies of God, we are not consumed because thy compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So I want to tell you, God's faithfulness is great. What he said is not going to fade away. It's not going to be dismissed in a court of law somewhere or another. What God says is eternal. His word is eternal. It's everlasting. If God says, I've given you a heavenly inheritance, he's got a place for you, my friend. John said, God will go. God has a place prepared for us. Jesus said that where I am, there you may be also. It's the place we're looking for. Praise the Lord. So we're born again into a heavenly inheritance. Amen. In heaven, there won't be any fussing who got more and who got less, who got rewarded more and who got rewarded less. There won't be any of that in heaven because there's not going to be any sin in heaven. Man. So we've been birthed, born again into an inheritance. And also, born again people are kept. Is that all? That's a lot. Kept. Verse 5. Amen. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You may keep things. You may keep animals. They may keep you. I don't know. But it says we're kept by the power of God. And in the spiritual sense, there's very strong language here about God being our keeper. In Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 11, he says, now I'm no longer in the world. Jesus was about to leave this world, about to be crucified and leave the world. But he prayed to his Father, says, but these, his disciples, are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those you have given to me, that they may be one as we are one. And so Jesus prayed for his disciples, and that would include you and I, that we have a united relationship with him. Praise God, that we be one as he, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are one in mind, will, and purpose. And so God says through his word, and Jesus says, I've prayed that my Father in heaven will keep you. Amen. And the book of Jude, verse 24, chapter 1, verse 24, that's the only chapter there is. But in verse 24, it says, now unto him, God, who is able to keep you from stumbling or falling. And God is able to keep you from falling, falling out of fellowship with him, falling out of your walk with God. God is able to keep you. Of course, we're people of free moral agency. We're free moral choice. We've got to choose to walk with him. But in him is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jude 24. Man. And stumbling or falling, we may think of that a lot of times. Man. We think of people that are blind and can't see what they're going, where they're going, and they stumble and fall. Man. Had a friend in my other church that was strongly born again. Before he was born again, he had a lot of things that needed to be worked out. And he and his brothers and sisters would say just about anything to each other. And his sister came to him one day and said, she said she wasn't happy at home. She said, I'm a nice-looking person. Said, I've lost weight and I've exercised and trimmed up my body where I look like a lot better. And said, so can, and she asked her brother, can you recommend somebody for me that would make a good husband? He wasn't very nice to her. He said, you might try the government agency called Lighthouse for the Blind. She wasn't very happy with her brother. And so you talk about something that'll make you stumble. Wouldn't say that about anybody. If you had any sense, you won't. But in the Old Testament, it was illegal by law to put stumbling blocks in the path of the blind. Leviticus 19:14 says that because they just would not, God wouldn't allow that in his own righteousness and goodness. You wouldn't cause somebody to stumble that couldn't see where they were going. That was a good law. Amen. But my friend, God doesn't want us to stumble any. Psalms 119, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall cause them to stumble. Psalms 119:165. Man, so God is not will, is not God's will for you to stumble and fall and quit following him. It's God's will for you to look to him, the author and the finisher of your faith, and keep on living no matter what. Stumbling blocks may be put in your path, but I want to tell you, God is able to keep you from stumbling, from falling. Many were kept by faith when they couldn't see the future. And we can't see the future like God can. I've met a few people that thought they knew it all. You talk to them 5 minutes, you find out they don't know much of anything. Or they don't know it all anyway. But God does know it all. God knows what's going to happen before it happens. God knows where you are before you know where you are. Amen. God is good and God keeps us. He didn't save you just to let you wander around along here in this life. God saved you to keep you. Amen. Yes, you've got a choice. There's people that turn away from God and where God doesn't keep them anymore, but they've turned away from the keeper. It's not that God failed on his part. It's that people fail sometimes. Psalms 121 tells us that. Psalms 121:5 says, the Lord is your keeper. That encourages me. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. That tells me God is our keeper forever. Amen. And so God, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So born again of people are kept by God, the great keeper. Amen. I've kept some things in my life for a short time that I wanted to get rid of. You might have had a dog or a cat you wanted to get rid of. I don't know. And don't say amen unless you're guilty. No, but there's things we keep, we love, we help. my daddy liked cats, and we had cats everywhere because we had a barn and we had a hay in the barn, and they were always catching mice, and they were good to be there. They were good. This one particular cat was a Siamese cat, and mother didn't like this cat. Mother would never pet a cat anyway. She didn't care for cats. But we kind of liked this cat, and me and my dad did, and we'd pet it, and it was a Siamese cat, and it had blue eyes. Siamese do have sometimes. And talking about a cat, not people. Never met a Siamese person. Anyway, one day this cat got in the house. Mother was going to the store. Somehow or another, this cat got in the house, and when she came back home, this cat was laying in the middle of my mother's bed asleep. She pulled out the fly swatter, and I can tell you that cat was glad to get rid of her as much as she was glad to get rid of the cat. And so she really didn't want to keep that cat. But God wants to keep us and preserve us, our going out and our coming in, this time forth and even forevermore. There's some things we want to get rid of, some things we don't want to keep, but God, and Mother didn't want to keep that cat, but we'd kept it anyway. And so Jesus or God promises here this, God will preserve your going out and your coming forth, going forth even from this time and forevermore. Now look at the Apostle Paul when it's time that he got ready, that they were about to take his life. And Paul was executed for his faith by Rome. And under Roman government, you had a lot of privilege if you were a Roman citizen. And crucifixion happened to most people that weren't Romans, and there were many of them slaves. Crucifixion was an awful means of execution, very painful as possible. And some lingered several days before they finally were eaten up with infection until they died. Didn't want to be crucified. But if you're a Roman citizen, a good Roman citizen, they were a little more kind to you. They just took you down and cut your head off. Neither one of them ways of execution appealed to me. But it was time for Paul to die, and Roman emperor didn't like Paul because he stood for Christ, because he preached the gospel. And so he would be executed for his faith. But even in the time just drawing near to his death, I want to tell you something. A born-again man had hope. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, he says, I am now ready to be offered. Can you think of that? I'm ready to give my life for Christ. I'm now ready to be offered up. I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering, he would say. The time of my departure is at hand. Paul says, I know that very shortly this life is over for me. And then he gives encouraging words that have been preached and taught ever since. He said, I have fought a good fight. And he fought spiritual wars, and God gave him to be victorious. He said, not only have I fought a good fight, he said, I've finished the course. He never gave up serving and living for God. He continued until he finished the course. My friend, I want you and I to finish well. I want us to finish this race. I want to see every one of you and me in heaven. Amen. I want to be there with you and be with our Christ forever. Amen. Let's get along down here because we're going to have to spend forever together. You can say, well, I don't want to spend forever with her or him. Get over it. If they're born again, you will. Amen. And Paul said, I have finished the race. He said, it's time. I'm about to lay down all this stuff. I'm about to lay down this life. But he said, I have kept the faith. He never gave up on God. He never quit. He didn't blame God for being executed. He didn't blame God for all the troubles that he went through, and he went through a bunch of them. Amen. He went through times when he was wrecked at sea, and he had to tread water to stay alive. Amen. May have tried to walk on water, but couldn't. But God saved him. God protected him. He continued. I tell you, the devil was never at peace when Paul was awake. Because if he was awake and there's anybody around, they're going to hear the gospel of Christ. He's going to hear the way of God to salvation. They're going to say, he's going to tell him what it meant to be born again. I've kept the faith. And Paul says, finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not just him, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day, not to me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. My friend, you and I have got a reward waiting for us in heaven. And I'm not concerned about how many jewels you got in your crown as compared to mine. I just want to be there with him who saved me by his grace, who birthed me, gave me spiritual birth, and I can be a born-again child of God and on my way to heaven. My friend, there's no greater joy than to know that you're on your way to heaven today. You're not on your way to a devil's hell, but if you're born again of God's Spirit, you're on your way to eternal glory, eternal hope, eternal love, eternal righteousness, eternal presence of Almighty God. You can rejoice in that. Praise the Lord. Kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 5 of our text. Ready to be revealed in the last time. Revealed through salvation when Jesus returns. The blessings of being born again, being a child of God, is wonderful. Amen. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But God made it so easy that a child can understand, can be saved, can be born again. Say, Lord Jesus, take charge of my life. I've not done well with my life. I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost, but I need Jesus. I need God's help today. I can't make it by myself. Would you help me, Lord? He will help you. He'll come into your heart, direct your life, cause you to make the right steps, take the wrong, right direction, make the right choices. He's God. Amen.